Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and I'm giddy, to be honest. I'm here at the SiriusXM studios in Las Vegas in the lobby of the Wynn, and I have three of my best friends co-hosting with me, who I've mentored and been mentored by and from, and your success has elevated me. So I want to congratulate my co-hosts for all your success in making me look good. Sam Taggart, Dan Fleischman, and the anchor man, Rick Jordan. Thank you, fellas, for joining me on Office Hours.
Thank you.
What's shaking?
Well, I hate to start off. Your leadoff hitter is not supposed to be your home run hitter, but unfortunately, we have our Grand Slam home run hitter first. Yeah. Les Brown has impacted my life in... He looked at something that said 1990. He goes, I was born in 1990. I said, that's okay, because in the 90s is when I first realized where and how and who Les Brown is. And now 34 books later or more, he's still doing what he's doing. Les Brown, welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And I want to congratulate you and your whole team for the great work that you're doing, keeping people aware of what they need to do to be in charge of their future.
Well, thank you so much. I don't know if you know this, but I was appointed the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. And Napoleon Hill and Think and Grow Rich, I know, is aligned with several of your philosophies. But I want to ask you, you've had a lot of health challenges, and we started our conversation that you are not only drama and debt-free, but you're cancer-free. And I'm wondering how cancer, a killer disease, has taught you lessons about your life that maybe you never would have known, especially looking back now that you're cancer-free.
I think that what it allows you to do is to begin to look at your life and ask the question, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? I think all of us come to a moment in our lives where we ask the question, who am I, what am I doing, and where am I going? And it helps you to put things into proper perspective and begin to do the things that matter to you, that allows you to live a life that will outlive you. People are usually surprised when I tell them that I'm 80 years old. And I say, not really 80 years old. I'm 80 years young because of the fact I look young, because I feel that when you're born, you look like your parents. But as you get older, you look like the life you live.
I love that. There's some wisdom for you, Sam.
That's solid.
Did that scare you?
Yeah,
a little bit.
I want to see you at 80.
Hey, black, like, don't crack too. Like, you look like you're 40, dude. Like, I'm over here like, geez, you're 80 years old. That's why I was looking at this. I was like, geez, he literally wrote books.
Sometimes we need some Vaseline, though.
Okay. I was gonna say, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Can I say that on here? Like, I was like, I'm impressed, man. So, do I get to ask the next question?
Yeah, you're the guy.
My name's Sam Taggart, and I host events and do speaking and train door-to-door salespeople, believe it or not. And I know that a lot of people don't ever see the behind.
You used to be a door-to-door salesperson.
This is where I was going with this. I think a lot of people don't see the behind-the-scenes upbringing of the bloody knuckles of how many times you've door knocked to get to where you are today. And it's like, you look at 34 books later, you look at all the speeches, you see all the fame, but it's like, speak to the guy that's like just getting started and what that looks like as far as, you know, maybe having to get the momentum going. And, you know, how did you get your start, and how did that compound over time? Because, you know, people look at 80 years and they don't see the bloody knuckles of when you started. So maybe kind of share with us a little bit of like that door-to-door experience and how that helped maybe the future experiences that you had later on.
Well, one of the most important things you must do when you are involved in door-to-door sales is make know your vitamin. You're going to face a lot of rejections, a lot of no's, and you want it to empower you as opposed to discourage you, and become a perpetual optimist, saying every time somebody says no, you say, you know what? I now know I'm closer to a yes. Now, the other thing that's very important in door-to-door sales and anything in life, you got to know your why. I remember going door-to-door and being rejected, and I was among a team of guys, and they would quit after about 10 or 15 knocks on doors and being rejected. And they say, hey, Les, are you coming with us? I said, no. I said, why not? I said, well, you guys, you were just working to get some money to party on the weekend. I've got a mother. I've got six foster brothers and sisters. I've got to sell something before I go home. And I have a quota that I'm going to reach, and I'm not going to stop until I reach that quota. And I had a compelling reason. I think in business and anything that you do, you have to have a skill to do it and have mental resilience. But you also got to have a strong why. Nietzsche said, if you know the why for living, you can endure almost anyhow. I was raised, my adopted mother took us out of foster care. She raised singly seven kids that she didn't give birth to. And I promised her, I said, Mama, what is it, Leslie? When I become a man, I'm going to take care of you. You're not going to a nursing home. I'm going to take care of you. And so that helped me to develop the mental resilience and the unstoppable, non-negotiable attitude that I'm going to get somebody to buy a used television set, no money down. I don't care if it was 11 or 12 o'clock at night.
I love it. I love that. And I think, like, can you see where that correlated as you moved into different career sets and things like that, how that was a skill set that carried forward?
Oh, yes, because life is about embracing the no's of life. I saw something by Michael Caine, just a very talented and gifted actor. He was trying to get to the door of a studio. Something was going on, and there was a chair blocking the door. And while these guys were practicing on a skit, the guy said, when he was trying to get in, move the chair. And he said, it's difficult. And the guy said, work with the difficulty. Mm-hmm. If it's a comedy, then trip over the chair. If it's drama, then pick it up and throw it at somebody. But work with the difficulty. I took that. I said, whoa, if any of us are going to be successful in this era of accelerated change, overwhelming complexity, and tremendous competition, we have got to learn to work with the difficulty. Had I not done that when I was labeled educable, mentally retarded, and put back from the fifth grade to the fourth grade, failed again in the eighth grade, no college training, and applying for jobs to speak for AT&T, Procter & Gamble, McDonald's Corporation, IBM, Xerox, no corporate experience, no college degrees, and going up against people with PhDs and MBAs. Had I not been willing to work with the rejections and find out what is it I bring to the table that will help me to stand out and make a greater impact, I wouldn't be where I am now. So it really built my character and helped me to build mental resiliency.
Speaking of mental resiliency, if anybody knows Dan Fleischman, you understand the definition of resilient. Welcome back, my friend.
It's a pleasure to be here. All right, Les Brown, I've grew up watching you my whole life, so I'm really excited for this moment. I've been in person watching you on stage over and over and over. But what I want to ask you about is you first got your start in radio and then television and then speaking at small stages, big stages, whole arenas. Talk to us about the transition over the course of time where now we're in the social media age and a digital age, how you've been able to stay so relevant for 10, 20, 30, and 40 years.
It's very important, whatever we do, that it was something that Robert Shuler said. He said, you either expand or you are expendable. I train speakers now, and I teach them how to develop a keynote presentation that can strategically transform an audience individually and collectively, and most importantly, how they can become self-persuaded. And I say to them, study relentlessly, because as soon as your audience knows as much as you know, they no longer need you. They can Google information. So you've got to stay ahead of the curve and bring value that speak in a way that not just giving information, because if information could change people, everybody would be skinny, rich, and happy. That you have to be strategic on how you use your story so the audience can individually and collectively see themselves in your story and dismantle their current belief system and become self-persuaded. If I tell you you have greatness in you, you may or may not believe me. But if I can strategically share my story with you where you see yourself in my story and you come to that conclusion, now that's an inside job.
Wow.
Two out of three ain't bad, Rick Jordan. What do you got there? What's shaking?
First, I didn't know you were 80, Les. That's incredible. I'm Rick Jordan. What's shaking, Les Brown?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. I like that we got the same hairstyle, too. Do we go to the same barber?
Yeah.
Maybe. Yep. Right on.
Yeah.
Now that you're at this phase of life, you know, I'm always curious about this, you know, because I see the greats, and I'm calling you one of the greats here. Transition, you know, it's like you get to 60, 65, and you're like, well, I've done my work for the world, you know, time to quote unquote retire. You know, but I see the greats like you shifting into more of a mentorship role. You know, how did that go for you? Talk to me about that transition and how you still just continue to go like you were when you were 20.
Well, Dr. Miles Monroe, who was one of my mentees, he said, Les Brown, there's no success without successors. And when I came into the industry, that they measured your impact based upon the information you could share from the book Think and Grow Rich, which was a very good book. As I train speakers now, I say to them, and this has helped me to stand out in the industry, I said, never let what you want to say get in the way of what your audience needs to hear. And all that getting, get understanding. And so in order for us to really, in this era of accelerated change, overwhelming complexity, and tremendous competition, in order to create value for people, we have to do exactly what we are teaching them to do. Number one, and I believe, don't practice what you preach, preach what you practice. You have to develop a ritual for mental resiliency, because life be life it. Things going to happen to you, especially after 35, and it's going to happen to people that you care about. The next thing that is very important is continuously upgrading your skill set and leveraging artificial intelligence to work for you, because over 325 million jobs will be lost to artificial intelligence. And so that gives the opening for new opportunities and new economies. And the third thing that's most important is developing communities of greatness. A Harvard University did an 85-year study, and it's called your reference group, and they wanted to know the one percenters, what is it that they had in common? And what they found, that they were in a group of people who that they could learn from, they can grow from, that held them to a higher standard, and iron sharpening iron. So the people that are going to make it today, not only must they have mental resilience and learn artificial intelligence to make it work for them, but they need to be a part of a community of collaborative, achievement-driven, supportive relationships that will help them to create momentum in the direction of what they want to accomplish.
Incredible. Life be life-in.
Dave, can we keep up that?
One more? Go ahead, Dan.
No, just can we keep him for like 3 or 4 more hours?
Yeah.
For real.
You know, he's so kind. If we offer to fly down and see him, we could actually have...
I'm ready. I'll drive.
Exactly. We'll go meet him. There is only one Les Brown.
Yes.
And there's only one smile like that. And there's only one energy that has propelled me in my career. And a testament to your success are these three gentlemen here who I've played a part, hopefully, of passing down the inspiration, education, intuition that I have learned with the incredible intellect of Les Brown. And he speaks for himself in Latin. That's res ipsa loquitur, that which speaks for itself. And I think Les Brown's a testament to being an OG here, but he's open-minded for the future. I didn't see the AI speech coming, Les.
Yeah, you, for real.
We'll see you every year, at least until he's 100.
Yeah.
Now that he's cancer-free, debt-free, and drama-free, that is free right after Veterans Day. Les Brown, just make us one promise that we'll get to see you soon.
Without any question, thank you. Always strive to get on top in life, because it's the bottom that's overcrowded.
Oh, never said better. With Les Brown here on Office Hours.